Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Time now for our opening commodity market report. Here to do that is Illinois Public Media's Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Tom, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, July wheat opened at 6:41, down 2 3/4 on the open. At the Board of Trade, July wheat opened at 5:90, down 3 1/4 on the open. September, 6:16 1/4, down 3 1/2. December, 6:39, down 3. March of 2010, 6:47, down 5 on the open. July corn opened at 4:27 1/2, down 3/4 on the open. September, 4:37, down 1/2. December, 4:48 1/2, down 3/4. March of 2010, 4:58 3/4, down 1 1/2. May, 4:66 3/4, down 1 1/4 on the open. July soybeans open at 11:48, up 1/2 on the open. August, 10:98, down 1/2. November, 9:92, unchanged. January of 2010, 9:95, down 1/2. March, 9:90, down 1 3/4 on the open. July soybean meal opened at 3:63, up 70 on the open. August, 3:44.50, up 140. July soybean oil opened at 38.80, down 4 on the open. August, 38.79, down 21. June live cattle open at 83.10, up 30 on the open. May feeders, 99.15, down 10. June lean hog, 66.90, down 10. And May pork belly, 74.07 1/2, down 272 1/2 on the open. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
For some odd reason, my spidered sense today is on high alert, not so much for the trade today as what we might come back to on Sunday night. Do I have any reason to think that that might be right?
Yeah, I think for about 20 different reasons, Dave. That's the thing about this market right now is it seems like every Friday there's about 10 or 15 things we can't close the door on because there's so many new things that are popping open. Overall this morning, I think the trade has come back around pretty nicely. We opened, went lower, flushed out longs, and then we saw the grains kind of resume a trading bias similar to what the outside markets are doing. We saw the consumer confidence numbers from the University of Minnesota come out. They were the best since last September. That tended to put a high here in the dollar for the morning, and the dollar went back down towards steady on the day. We just made some new highs in the S&P and the Dow futures. Crude oil starting to come back towards its higher end of the range. That got the attraction of the gold, and that in turn, I think, has probably turned the corn and bean markets positive, with the wheat taking on more of a follower role. Probably the best thing that's happened this morning so far is that the meal is leading the bean complex higher. Meal got some pretty nasty fundamental news this morning with China exporting about 85,000 tons of meal into Japan and Vietnam. Some of the sources we have that have good contacts in China are saying, given the crush margins in meal, given the pork prices in China, expect more exports of meal out of China. So for beans to see the meal be the leader of the product market, that says quite a bit. So it says to us maybe if we continue to see the dollar weaker here, crude maybe goes positive on the day, and then all of a sudden we see potentially the bean oil take a turn for the upside, and then all of a sudden we see the July no beans spread come back in favor again. It's already up about 6 today, but it may jump even more. So overall, for a Friday, and given your spider sense, I think that the market's containing itself pretty well.
Well, let me ask you this. Thus far this week, it seems to me that soybeans have been rallying on ideas of disappearance of old crop stocks. Corn has been rallying essentially on continued talk about the weather and how many acres of corn will eventually get planted. And the question I have is, can those two things continue into next week, or are we going to have some divergence?
I think they can continue into next week. It's interesting to note that the July beans just went positive on the week yesterday. Up until yesterday, and their move back up, the strong move back up, they were actually carrying a negative number for the week. And so kind of a surprise when I looked at that last night when I reviewed the charts for the week. I think what we're really coming down here to, Dave, is that the beans have a premium in them. The report is out. The planting delays in corn are starting to attract the attention of the trade in terms of higher bean acres for new crop, yet that July no bean spread keeps going up on the ideas that supplies continue to crumble due to this excessive demand. I think we take a different track. Chinese pork production, it's very high right now, and the producer prices, their domestic prices, are down about 60% from our intelligence in China in the last 6 months. Crush margins have gone from plus 30 to negative 40 in the last 5 or 6 months. So is China really buying all these beans because they need them? We don't think so. They're adding to their state reserves. They're buying them from their farmers also to keep their domestic prices higher. Why in the world then would they keep buying beans? And I think it goes back to the dollar and their need to diversify out of dollar holdings and get into more hard assets. They've been doing this with almost all the commodities, and the beans have been the favorite child along with copper here in the last 3 or 4 months. So it really boils down to the dollar next week. If the dollar pins a low here and stimulates a technical buy signal, I suspect the Dow Jones AIG Grain Index on the weekly chart will pin a sell signal on the technicals, and the trade will say, okay, let's take this thing down a little bit, but maybe corn gets hurt the least because corn's got the most to gain from not going up this week on planting delays.
So are you saying that you might see a move in tandem to the downside, but not severely to the downside?
I think that's correct. I think we're in the mindset that wheat and the beans would be the leaders to the downside if the outside commodities broke. I think it's very important to realize that a big reason why the beans have gone up is not just Chinese buying of dollars, but we just got some new bank information. Some of the recent bank research would say $4 billion flowed into emerging markets in the first weeks of May. About $9.8 billion float out of the United States in the last few weeks. What that does is it takes the dollar down because dollar flows are coming out of the United States, and they're going to Russia and Brazil. Brazil's stock market has been rallying so much that in just this week alone, the Brazilian government has had to intervene to keep the Brazilian real from going up against the United States dollar. And so we're looking at a situation here where the money flows in the outside markets are pushing the dollar down and the emerging market currencies up and their stock markets up, and that naturally attracts commodity investment. So I think the bigger story continues to be in those outside markets when it comes to the wheat and the beans and the copper and the crude oil. Corn's got some of its own micro fundamentals I think we have to be real respectful of, and I would say maybe even buy dips if we come in underneath 40% planted in corn on Monday's report.
And what would hold to the downside? I believe at one time you were looking at 416 July as an area of support.
Yeah, I think that's off limits at this point unless wheat leads you lower. My biggest concern right now, Dave, is that the wheat really takes it on the chin, mm-hmm. and we have to make a pre-harvest or harvest low. The things that are keeping wheat up right now are the problems in Argentina, Australia, and in our own soft red crop. I think the trade understands what's going on in all three of those regions, and it's been keeping the wheat buoyant along with that softer dollar. But if the dollar does bounce and all of a sudden we start talking about better weather in Argentina, better weather in Australia, drying out in the central corn belt, and then all of a sudden harvest is coming upon us, then that wheat becomes a negative force in the corn, I think. And going back to the 40% planted, I should say, in Illinois and Indiana, not as a nation, but that's kind of the number we're using for what we expect on Illinois and Indiana planting on Monday's report.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana, and we're on the web 24/7 at willag.org. It's 10 o'clock Central.